بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، My brothers and sisters, today I'm going to talk to you about a very, very critical topic, but I'm going to ask you a lot of questions. So, please answer me. Tell me, do you think it is important for your dua to be accepted or not? I'm not asking dumb questions, serious questions. Do you want your dua to be accepted or not? Yes or no? Sure. Do you want your ibadat, your salah, and so on to be accepted or not? Yes or no? Yes. Then tell me, what is the single most important thing that you should do for your dua to be accepted and your salah to be accepted? What is the number one thing? Prayer? No, and you're praying already to be accepted, for Allah to accept it. Halal income and halal food, right? Halal income and halal food. Please understand, there was a story in Islamic history where Hajjaj bin Yusuf sent some food to some of the ulama of the haram. And so this food came from the governor of Makkah and so on. After they ate the food, then Hajjaj said to them, now you can make as much dua against me as you want, I don't care. Because what I sent you was haram. Now you can talk about whether unknowingly if they ate haram, was it, did it affect them or didn't affect them and so on. Those are all matters of discussion. But the important thing is that here is Hajjaj saying that I sent you this food with the intention that your dua is rejected. Now the reason I'm saying this to you is very simple, because we have in this country, and this is only in this country, there are people from different countries here. Let me ask that. Indonesia, when you go and buy chicken, do you ask for zabiha halal? No. Pakistan? Sudan? No. Pakistan? Why? Why don't you ask for zabiha halal? Because nobody is running a halal scam in those countries. It is halal or haram. And halal means zabiha. There is no such thing as zabiha halal. You get to the point I'm making. There is no such thing as zabiha halal, because what makes the thing halal? Zabiha. For something to be halal, two conditions are required. Number one, fi nafsihi, by itself, the animal or the bird should be halal. Right, you can do zabiha to a dog, it does not become halal. And if you think I'm exaggerating, I'm not. You go to Southeast Asia, people eat dogs. You will go to a butcher shop, you will find dog carcasses. I'm not exaggerating, I'm not joking, I'm not exaggerating. I'm telling you the reality of life. Travel in the world and you will see. So the thing itself should be something which Allah has permitted. So cattle, sheep, birds, animals, everything which is not a predator, everything which is not a predator, an eagle, a crow is not halal, but a chicken is halal, turkey is halal, and so on. Right? So these are permissible animals and birds to eat. Second condition is, it should be slaughtered in the way which we know as zabiha. Right? So people say, well, zabiha is good because, you know, all the blood gets drained out and so on and so on. No. Zabiha is halal for the same reason that we fast in Ramadan from can't see to can't see, right? From dawn to dusk. Why? What is the sanctity of that timing? What is the reason? Is it because of maximum activity, maximum biological activity, or maximum? Allah said so. Alas. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us. Take the ayat concerning the prohibition of interest-based dealings. What did Allah give as the reason? Did Allah give a reason to say this is bad for the economy and you should do this? No. What is the reason Allah gave us? أَحَلَّ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَا. Alas. Why is it haram? Because Allah said, because I said so. Why was it haram? Because I said so. I said so is reason, is dalil, is the biggest cause for a Muslim to believe that something is right or wrong, because Allah said so. You don't need anything else. You don't need a scientific reason, you don't need an economic reason, you don't need a... No. Because Allah said so. So why is it that zabiha, which means to cut the throat, esophagus, windpipe, and at least two of the arteries, the carotid arteries, jugular vein, all which should be cut. Because I can argue with you and I can say, if the draining of the blood is what is required, then I can simply stab the animal in the heart, the blood will be drained. I can rip open the animal from here to here, blood will be drained. So there are many ways of draining the blood. Will it be halal? No. It has to be cut in this way. Now, also the person must say Bismillah or Bismillah Allah, but there is a difference of opinion. With some of the ulama, they said Bismillah is mustahab, good to do. If you don't do also, it does not make it haram. Leave that aside. But if you want an absolutely total, perfect opinion, good in all counts, then it is something which is slaughtered by a Muslim saying Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, cutting the whole throat, which means the carotids, jugular, and the windpipe and esophagus. This opinion, there is no disagreement by any of the Aima. Even the people who said that Bismillah is not necessary, if you tell them, what if I say Bismillah, they will say, Alhamdulillah, please, go ahead. Nobody will say, don't say Bismillah. Right? Now, why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this is because I will send you the article, so read it. There is an article called The Human Cost of Chickens. Now, what happens in a chicken processing factory? How many people here have been inside a chicken processing plant and seen it? Anybody here? You have seen it? Okay. Now, I have seen it, and I'm sure my brother Luqman will confirm what I'm saying, whether it is true or not. I'll tell you what I saw. The chickens come at one end of the assembly line. They are put upside down into funnels, something like a funnel. So the funnel is supposed to keep the chicken from flapping around and so on. The neck and head extend out. This goes now on a conveyor. It passes through a bath of water. There is a tub of water. The chicken's head and neck is dipped in the water. It's at a level where it cannot escape. It goes into the water. The water is electrified. There is electric power in that. They put wires there. The water is electrified. This is supposed to stun the chicken. So they say the chicken does not die. Okay? So first of all, whether to stun and not, that itself is a different story. But chicken does not die. My question is, how do you know that every chicken does not die? That no chicken dies? Because nobody does a cardiac analysis of the chicken before they put it through there. So it is entirely possible that the electric shock for one chicken will kill it. So now you've got a dead chicken, which has died for a halasun. Gone on the head, outside. Then it goes to the place where the throat is supposed to be cut. Now that is a knife. It's either a circular blade or it's a trained blade. And the rate at which it is cutting, they process 45 birds per minute, which means 1.5 seconds per bird. Now, I want you to say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Say first, as fast as you can. What's it? That's it. 1 second gone already, man. You're supposed to say it 45 times per minute. Is it possible? It's not possible. So what do they do? They put a tape. There is a tape which is playing Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Is this halal? So why don't we, instead of coming here to this masjid and praying, may Allah bless our Sheikh for this beautiful qiraat, instead of this, why don't we simply put on a tape at home, listen to some Quran and say, khalas, my salat wa risha, alhamdulillah, with the jamaat. Or maybe turn on to the Saudi channel or something, you know, some video, watch the video, khalas, alhamdulillah, I prayed, mashallah, I prayed salat wa risha in the Arab. What more do you want? I pray to Allah. My brothers and sisters, fear Allah. Fear Allah. Ittaqullah. This deen is not a joke. What is your deen worth to you? If you have to pay, how much will you pay? Tell me. I don't know. One chicken? Everything? So one chicken. Whole chicken. Not only one leg. That's what we're doing. You're selling your deen for one chicken leg. How many people here eat one chicken at a sitting? How many people? Have you eaten one full chicken? Anybody? So your deen, I'm not saying you, I don't mean you personally. I'm saying the people who are eating without verifying whether it is zabih or not are selling their deen for that piece of chicken which you just ate. So your deen to you is worth less than one leg of a chicken. So it goes through the electric bar, right? Then it goes through this. Chak, 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 chak. Now, where they have men standing and slaughtering, in some cases, they have a man standing there, long line of men, they slaughter every alternate chicken, which brings down the production capacity of the plant quite a lot, but they do it, they slaughter it. Now, those men, they wear adult diapers. They are standing there for 8 hours. They are wearing adult diapers. If they have to urinate, they urinate standing there. If they have to defecate, they do that in the diapers while he is slaughtering the chickens. Whether his Bismillah is what it is worth, Allah only knows. That's why they said the human cost of chickens. The belt is moving, the conveyor is moving. They do not shut down a machine because you want to go to the toilet. They do not shut down the machine because you say, no, I can't say Bismillah fast enough. That's your look out, boss. You want the job, just do it. Right? I told you, I'll send you. These things, they cut 14,000 chickens per day, which means total output for the day. Right? So now, and I told you, I'll send you the articles. I won't say, I won't sort of read the whole thing for you. The reason I'm saying all this is because in this country, you have got options. The option is that, very sad to say, a halal stamp means nothing. Because there are people who are putting halal stamps on factory machine slaughtered chickens. When the machine slaughter is happening, one is there is some tape playing. So that is one problem. The other problem is when the knife goes, sometimes the chicken flaps, so the knife, instead of cutting the neck, will cut off the whole neck. The neck, head falls off. So a chicken with the head chopped off, is it halal? If the neck falls off, complete head, the head is off. That's how the Sikhs do that. They call it shatka. They cut off the head, beheading. It's not halal. Sometimes it misses the neck, it will cut through the body. The problem is the whole thing is moving so fast that there is no way of checking every single chicken. Was it alive at the time of slaughter? Did the neck get cut properly? No, nobody on earth can verify that. If they take you and say, you stand here and verify, you cannot verify. It's not doable. It's not meant for that. they have been producing machines which move faster and faster and faster for a very simple reason. That is, that if you have a machine which processes, say, as I told you, 4,000 or 20,000 per day, another machine produces 60,000 per day, that means your profit margin goes up. So in this country, you've got two options. One option is there are HMS, for example, Hallard Marketing Service from New York, they verify the proper halal system of hand slaughter and they give a stamp, which is the HMS stamp. They do it free of cost. They don't charge anybody anything. They don't charge you. They don't charge the slaughterhouse. They don't charge the shop. So buy only the thing which has a HMS stamp, or go to a place, slaughter the chicken yourself, or go to a place which sells you hand-slaughtered chickens. We have them right here in West Springfield. People who are hand-slaughtering and providing. We have Sava Poultry in Connecticut, which does hand-slaughter. We have many options. If any hotel or restaurant says the chicken here, or we have halal pork, please, it doesn't mean anything. Because you must go and ask, is it zabiha? Is it hand-slaughtered? Is it zabiha? If they say, if the owner is a Muslim, and if the owner says, yes, it is zabiha, you don't have to argue. You don't have to ask him to show you this stamp or that stamp. You can take his word for it, because if he is lying to you, then he will stand before Allah on the day of judgment and he will answer to Allah. So it's not your problem. But without asking, if it just has a halal stamp, for example, restaurant depot, for example, Costco, many places have chickens and so on and so forth, which has a halal stamp. Please do not buy that is machine slaughtered. It is haram. Sometimes people tell me, no, Sheikh, but you know, that is cheaper. If you want the cheapest meat, go eat pork. Because that is the cheapest meat in this country. And if people say Bismillah and eat, say Bismillah and eat pork also. What is the problem? You're eating some haitha anyway. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited the dead. See the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that maitha is maitha wa dam and so on and so forth, blood and the dead. So dead is dead. Then it's haram. A dead body is as haram, equal haram to pork. There's nothing bigger and small, higher and lower than that. Please don't make the deen into a joke. The deen is not a joke. The deen is serious. That's why it began with, do you want your dua to be accepted? The reason our duas are not accepted today globally is because of this. This chicken business is a very, very, very major reason for that. Please don't do this. Absolutely check. If it is not hand slaughtered, zabiha, don't eat it. Don't feed others. Right? Many of you know, I ask openly. Even if I'm eating, I normally would not ask if I'm eating in somebody's house. But I know, unfortunately, there are people, Muslims here, who buy and eat non-zabiha in their houses. So I have to ask you, even if I come to your house, is this zabiha? I will ask. If you get offended, that's your problem. Don't call me. Do not invite me. If it is not zabiha, don't touch it. Consider it to be worse than poison. Because poison will kill you. Eating haram will put you in jahannam. Right? I want to end with one of my most beautiful stories from the seerah. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And see the name, see the issues. Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu came home once. And he asked his servant, is there anything to eat? He gave him a bowl of milk. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu drank the milk. Then the servant said to him, every time I give you something, you ask me, where did you get it from? Today you did not ask me. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said to him, he said, Ya Rajul, I mean, when you know I am so careful, what was this thing? He said, before I became Muslim, I was a soothsayer. He was a Jyotishi or something. He used to tell people fortunes and stuff, which is haram in Islam. He said, I used to do that. I did this work for some people who live outside of Madina. They did not pay me. after that I became Muslim. Today I was passing by there, so they gave me this bowl of milk as payment for that work which he did prior to becoming a Muslim. So he said, that bowl was there, I gave it to you. Now see the Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu put his finger into his throat and he started vomiting. And he vomited and vomited and vomited until he brought out blood. So the people grabbed him, they said, Sheikh, he will kill you, sir. What is this thing? Why are you doing it? He says, I am doing it because I have heard from my Habib. Who is the Habib of Abu Bakr Siddiq? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I heard from my Habib that if one morsel, one piece, goes into the mouth and is ingested, it is digested, the fire of Jahannam is wajib on that body. Okay? Now, see the fiqhi usul in this. First of all, that milk was belonged to whom? Abu Bakr Siddiq or the man? The man, right? So that is his Muslim brother who gave him a gift. You know and I know, if you are fasting, somebody gives you something without knowing you eat it, your fast is fine, right? If I come to your house, you give me some food, I didn't check, I didn't ask, is it halal? You gave me, I ate, you are a Muslim brother, you gave me some food, it is a gift from you, I ate it. For me, it is halal, no problem. Right? Milk by itself, is it halal or haram? Halal. So why is Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu bring it up? So he knows the deen better, or you or I know the deen better? He has more knowledge of fiqh, or we have more knowledge of fiqh? People give fatwa. No, it's okay. What do you mean okay? This deen belongs to you or your grandfather? What do you mean okay? We have the hadith of none other than the grandson of Rasulullah Hasan bin Ali radiallahu anhu. What did he say? He said, I heard from my grandfather. Directly. He said, I heard from my grandfather. He said, leave the doubtful for that in which there is no doubt. Leave the doubtful for that in which there is no doubt. So please, I am saying this to you in the house of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my witness today, and Allah will be my witness on the day of judgment that I conveyed the message to you clearly. Inshallah. Yes? If the thing is not zabiha, do not eat it. Do not buy it, do not eat it. If you bought it, return it. If you can't return it, throw it. Don't eat it. If you are not sure, don't eat it. If you have hand slaughtered zabiha, you can eat chicken until you start laying eggs. I don't care, no problem. But if it is not zabiha, don't touch it. Right? Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to eat halal, to earn halal, and to accept our du'as without any hesitation or rukawat for this. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to give us what we ask with khair and barakah and afiyah, and to add to that from His generosity and grace. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika.